From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, this is Chandu Vijay and welcome to Love to Love. Now, a few weeks back, I had Brother Sai Prakash of Radio Sai on my show, where I asked him about the bhajan that he would love to listen to a million times. At the end of the conversation, I had hinted that we would have a full-fledged conversation with Brother Sai Prakash on his tryst with Sai and music, and today is that day. As a word of introduction, Sai Prakash hails from a family who are devoted to our beloved Swami for close to 50 years. He joined the Sri Satya Sai Primary School in the year of 1984 and passed out from the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in 2000. So literally from KG to PG with Swami. And the story doesn't end there. After his education, he was handpicked by Swami to join Radio Sai when Radio Sai had just begun. Brother Sai Prakash, who is also a self-taught musician, plays harmonium in the Mandir Bhajan group and has played sitar in front of Bhagwan innumerable times. So here is my conversation with Brother Sai Prakash. Sai Ram Sai Prakash, and once again, welcome to Love to Love.
Thank you, Chandu.
Well, last time we had a very short conversation about the bhajan that you would love to listen to a million times, and you had narrated very beautiful incidents relating to those bhajans.
Correct.
Now let's have a more deeper conversation.
Okay.
I very vividly remember me telling you that time that we will have one proper show about you, and I think the time
has
come.
Yes, I remember that too, but I didn't think it will come so soon.
Well, you know, I very vividly remember the first time I saw you, okay. Even though it was more than a decade back.
Okay.
I had just joined the hostel, Brindavan Hostel, for my undergraduate program.
Okay. Which year was that?
2001.
Okay.
And one fine evening, I was standing in the hostel corridor, and I heard very beautiful sitar and tabla music.
Okay.
And somehow I traced the origin of that music to the Brindavan Hanuman Chalisa room.
That's in the basement, right?
Yeah, in the basement.
Yeah.
So I came, and then I sat outside. The door was closed, and I sat outside listening to the music for close to half an hour.
Really? Oh, that's a big surprise.
You were so blissfully ignorant of the fact that somebody was sitting outside.
Oh.
And after that music was over, both of you came out, you and your brother.
Okay.
That time, of course, I didn't know who you both were. Then later I realized that it was you and the person on the tabla was your brother Satish.
That's true.
Of course, that time Radio Sai was not yet officially announced, and I had absolutely no idea that a time would come in the future when I would be joining Radio Sai and we would be having this conversation.
That's amazing.
So here we are, and without taking any more time with the introduction, let's go to the program.
Okay.
And the first question that I want to ask you today is, now, before you became a musician, you were an artist. So do you remember the first time you held a brush, paintbrush?
Well, this is an incident which I keeps coming back to my memory. Since my father is an artist, and I've seen him doing painting.
Is your father a professional artist?
No.
Okay.
It's by hobby, and with Swami's blessings, he has done a lot of art painting work in Puttaparthi as well. So then that possibly came in the blood, and I was also interested in drawing and doing that. But the time I really seriously held the brush was something in my 9th standard or so. 8th to 9th, when actually I had done a small A4 size sketching of Swami's face, and then I had shown it to him in the darshan line. Swami was so happy. He said, "You did this?" And then he went around showing, "See, this small boy has done this sketching." And then he told me, actually, "Why don't you start painting?"
Swami told you.
Swami told me. Oh. So why don't you start painting?
Okay.
And that was a very, very big boost for me. And I have done paintings before that, but then I realized Swami really wants me to seriously do painting.
So you were initiated by the Lord himself into art.
Encouraged, I would say. Encouraged. To put it differently, tolerated, I would say. But that was a beauty. Swami was so encouraging and so loving. He just saw that photo sketch and he said, painting, Chaira, why don't you start painting? Then I promptly called up parents. I said, Swami has told me to start paintings. And I remember that Camlin, okay. You know, you had that bottle paints.
Yes, yes.
So small bottle paint set was sent. And then I made a card on which I started my watercolor painting. But more or less, that was the first time I did something bigger that way. Otherwise, I had done smaller paintings earlier. But that really comes to my memory right now.
So during your schooling days in the higher secondary school,
yes,
how many times have you shown your paintings to Swami? And how many times did you get this opportunity to have this personal interaction with Swami? On this?
Innumerable. Actually, every festival we would make a card, and it kind of became, because we were few of us in the card room. There was a department that would make cards for Swami on every occasion, and it's such a lovely thing. And some of us specialized into doing thermocol carving.
Yes,
some of them specialized into writing the poem. Some of them specialized into other things. And my specialization remained with painting.
Okay.
So innumerable cards we have done as a group, and then Swami has seen them. And many letters and cards we would send to Swami as a class. So class 8 or class 9. So all of us together we would make letters and send it to Swami. So lots of times.
So Swami asked you to start painting.
That's
so
true.
Which was the first painting of yours that you showed to Swami?
That's a big story. I don't know whether I should go into that
yes,
right now.
Yes, of course. You have time for
this
it.
This is so love to love, and I thought this was about music.
You'll come to music, because after all, painting is an art.
Okay, that's good. See, actually, Swami, since Swami said do painting, I was going around and I found one beautiful photo of Swami with his chin resting on his hand and one finger on his cheek.
Okay.
I don't know how whether people are able to visualize it as I am speaking. But there's a very beautiful photo of Swami holding his chin in his palm and his one finger on the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
So that painting was in one of the teacher's rooms, and I thought I should do that. And I took that painting, I took that photograph. And I took a huge chart paper, just folded it into half. And so that was a huge card, actually.
Okay.
And in the entire front space, I made a huge face of Swami.
Okay.
And then around Swami's face, I had a lot of flowers.
Okay.
Big flowers.
Painting or actual
painting,
flowers?
Painting.
Painting, okay.
Painting of big, big flowers. And kind of exaggerated in size, but it was so nice and flowery, and Swami in the center, like you know, the biggest flower. So very beautiful. Concept was very nice, but what happened was, after I did the painting on the face and the flowers, everything, I did not have a 0-point brush. You know, when you want to paint some lines which are really thin, you need a brush which is a zero number brush.
Okay.
So I was trying to look for it, and I really didn't get that. Then I thought, let me do the eyes and the eyebrows, because it's all black. Eyebrows, eyelashes. Let me do it with a micro tip pen. You know, there used to be a micro tip pen, gel ink.
Okay.
But I didn't even get that.
Okay.
And I was kind of lost, and I wanted to show that painting to Swami. I was so very eager, because Swami told me, and then I wanted to really reciprocate. And that's when something very funny happened, because we didn't get a micro tip pen, and what I got instead was a sketch pen.
Okay.
You know, as you know, sketch pen is quite thick.
Yes.
And the whole painting was so beautiful, and the sketch pen ruined the whole painting. Because I tried to put eyelashes, eyebrows, and this thing with that sketch pen. It really ruined the whole painting. But I have put in so much hard work, and I really wanted to push it through and show it to Swami and tell him, Swami, I'll do better next time, but please have a look at this.
One very genuine doubt. How come you didn't consider pencil?
Yeah, a pencil is not dark enough.
Oh, okay.
See, when you, what happens is, when you try to do a pencil on the painting, watercolor painting.
Oh, on the watercolor painting,
it almost looks grayish, and it's not dark enough for that level of color. On a paper, it's fine. But on the brown color of Swami's skin and all that,
true.
Pencil won't stand out.
Okay.
So, anyways, I did that and ruined the painting. And then I had to take it to Swami. So I went to the mandir. sat with that huge cart covered, wrapped in newspaper. And Swami came, and as he was coming from a distance, he had that mischievous smile. And then, oh, this fellow has really done something. So as he came closer, with a lot of trepidation and a lot of reluctance, I opened the newspaper just so that Swami could see it. And all the boys around were trying to kind of raise up and see what exactly I'm showing to Swami. But I didn't want others to see. I wanted only Swami to see it. And Swami looked at the painting. And I knew, because I knew it is not up to the mark. And I was waiting what Swami would say. Very lovingly, Swami patted me on the cheek. Bagaledra, idi bagaledu, he said.
Okay.
This is not nice. And that was the truth. He said, this is not nice. See, such a loving teacher that he came and he said, this is not nice. You should do better. Bagaledra, he said, and very smiling, very beautiful smile. He just gave me a pat on the cheek and just walked past.
Okay.
So the story doesn't end there, because after Swami went, took people for interview, we would run up a little bit and sit on that one step below the veranda. So that was when the hospital had already started. So we were not running up all the way to the interview room. We were sitting one step below the veranda. And bhajan had started. Swami had gone into the bhajan hall. And just a thought came to my mind. I said, Swami, you told me to start painting. And this is my first major painting, and I know it's not nice, but what you really missed out is the painting inside.
Okay.
The card has got another painting inside, which is like a scenery.
Okay.
And there, Swami, I've written a poem also. I'm just thinking these things. Swami, I've written a poem there, and I've done a painting that has come out very well, Swami, and you have not seen that painting. Swami, you should come and see that painting. Just this thought came, and you won't believe it, Swami just got up from the throne.
Okay.
In the bhajan hall.
Uh-huh.
And he came straight to where I was seated. Ah, chupichura. Show me the paint. As if like I am pestering him and I am telling Swami. He said, show it to me.
Okay.
I was so taken aback. I mean, these are just thoughts.
True.
And the way Swami, and he came and actually saw the inside photo.
Okay.
And he gave a signature with Love Baba inside.
Okay.
On the scenery. And then because he came, he gave his signature on many other photographs the other boys also started showing. But it just showed that, the prayer can just reach God's heart, and instantly he responded. That was very beautiful.
So, dear listeners, that was Brother Sai Prakash telling us about how Swami himself had encouraged him to start painting and what happened when he got that golden opportunity to show his first painting to Swami. So let's take a short break here, and we will be back with more amazing stories from Brother Sai Prakash after this beautiful song from the program Prema Pravaham, which was held on the 85th birthday evening.
सागर है तू प्यार का सागर है तेरे एक बूंद के प्यासे हम तेरे एक बूंद के प्यासे हम तू प्यार का सागर है तू प्यार का सागर है तेरे एक के प्यासे हम तेरे एक बूंद के प्यासे हम तू प्यार का सागर Thank you. है धरती जिस पर तुमने साईं जन्म लिया, तुमने जन्म लिया। दिन दुखी को गले लगाया, युग उपकार किया, युग उपकार किया। चांद और सितारे भी, चांद और सितारे भी तेरी जयकार करेंगे सदा, तेरी जयकार करेंगे सदा। तू प्यार का सागर है, पिता साईं तुम ही प्राण सखा, तुम ही प्राण सखा। सब है पराए तुम ही को अपने, तुमने प्यार दिया, तुमने प्यार दिया। कहते रहेंगे सदा, कहते रहेंगे सदा कि तुमसे हो न कभी भी जुदा, कि तुमसे हो न कभी भी जुदा। तू प्यार का सागर है, तू प्यार का सागर है। एक बूंद के प्यासे हम, एक बूंद के प्यासे हम। तू प्यार का सागर है, तू प्यार का सागर है।
Welcome back, dear listeners. We are continuing with the conversation with Brother Sai Prakash, and he was telling us about how Swami had encouraged him to start painting and what happened when he got the golden opportunity to show his first painting to Swami. And here is the rest of the conversation. That was the first painting that you showed to Swami. And you had innumerable opportunities after that.
Correct.
Probably you could recollect one more incident, maybe from your college days.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, just like a very good teacher would do, Swami initiated, so-called, on the line of painting. But there was a unit test. I wouldn't say there was an examination.
Okay.
There was a unit test along the way. Because when we came up to degree, this again...
I think the unit test came very late. He should have tested him much before school.
That's
to degree.
True. But I think he just gave me time to grow if I was a slow learner. In the first year of undergraduate, there was a drama which the Greek people were putting up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were putting up a drama of King Janaka, story of King Janaka, and they had brought a backdrop which showed Lord Surya, in a very Greek style.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's riding on two horses, chariot, and, with a cloth flying, and a very Greek-looking kind of god. And Swami asked, who is this man?
Uh-huh.
So they told Swami, this is sun god. King. He said, no, this is not sun. and he wanted somebody to actually paint a sun god. And then so Brindavan boys were around, so somehow I got pushed in. And Swami said, you will paint sun god. I said, Swami, with your blessings. Do. Swami was very happy. And I actually tried to go around the market and see, because there is that beautiful standard painting of sun god with seven horses and all that. But I tried to get that photograph, but I didn't get it anywhere.
And that time there was no internet.
There was absolutely, at that time, this is 96, 95, 96.
Yeah.
And internet was, and we were in the hostel as
Correct.
Well. So, I just thought, what is the closest to that? And there is the beautiful painting of Krishna and Arjuna going for war. Mm-hmm. And that, and then there you see the horses, mm-hmm. and then you see Krishna, and then, so I thought, okay, I will take that and modify it and make it into sun god. So, then I brought that photograph and Swami came promptly the next day. I had just started something and Swami came and said, what are you doing? Then I told Swami, Swami said, like this sun god should be.
In the sense, you were in Purnachandra Auditorium?
The rehearsals were held in Purnachandra Auditorium. Okay, okay. And so this whole canvas was actually spread on the floor of Purnachandra Auditorium.
Okay.
And I had to actually put newspaper and stand on the thing and then do the painting.
Okay, okay.
So that was kind of funny because Swami came and then I was kind of stuck up in that position. But Swami is seeing that and I showed this reference photo. Swami said, sun god should be like this.
Okay.
I had to really rush it because there was really not much time. You can imagine, you know, their program was on 21st of November or something because 22nd is convocation. And Vrindavan boys come, of course, they were here. That semester we were here. So this was something like 18th or 19th. So we just had a day or two to really finish it. And Swami came the next day. He said, over? Then I said, yes, Swami, to the best of my ability. And Swami said, see, this is how sun god should look.
Oh, okay.
He was very happy. And I thought Swami was very happy because the way he looked.
Yes.
Then he called all the Greek people. He said, see, this is how sun god should look. I said, Swami, have I got 70%, 80%, 90%? No, slowly you start floating and feet was 3 inches above the ground. Then the moment they all were very happy that Swami is happy, he looked at me and in Telugu, he said, "Entra gurral lekunda gadral pettesavu." Means, it means, instead of horses, why have you put donkeys over there? Totally taken aback because he told them this is how it should be and this is perfect and all that. But that's again his love.
Yes, very true.
He's just pushing you so that you go one step higher. And now when I sit and think of it, I'm very moved because who will take that much care and that much pain to come and explain and then encourage at the same time, you know, put you in place so that you know where you stand, so that you can push yourself and really go. I have never seen Swami discouraging anybody in the sense, any kind of art, any kind of card they would take. Swami would always say, do better, you can do better. But only once I heard, you know, that I think even it was too much for Swami also. Because I remember very clearly because that was a Ganesh Chaturthi day and the chariots were coming in. One boy had shown Swami a drawing of Lord Ganesha he had done. Swami just told him, please don't draw anymore.
Oh, we can imagine.
Then I realized, Swami, I really don't want to see that drawing. And Swami said, no, you try other things. Don't.
So even God has a tolerance level.
I mean, the students have really taken, tested Swami's limit of... But Swami just told him, you try something else.
Okay.
But other than that, any piece of art, you know, anybody makes a drawing. I remember once more when 20th October, we had made a card where I had drawn Swami throwing the flowers and say Sai Baba.
Mm-hmm.
I had drawn Swami with shorts, you know, because Swami was a small boy at that time.
Yes.
You know, as a school boy, when his father asks him, who are you?
Yes.
Then he throws those jasmine flowers and says Sai Baba. And that is the avatar declaration day. So Swami... Kim, and who is this boy? Swami asked. I said, Swami, it is you. And Swami looked at me and said, oh, it is me. When did you see me wearing shorts? Very beautiful. Every activity, every action, it was just to show Swami and to catch his attention for a few seconds. And that's it, to get his proximity. That's all. That's actually what mattered. Nothing else mattered, actually.
Anyway, since you have said that this is Love to Love and this is a program mainly based on music.
That's true. I was wondering.
Probably it is time to make a shift from Sai Prakash the artist to Sai Prakash the musician. Now, the only two as musical aspects of your personality that I am aware of is the sitar and harmonium.
Yes.
I don't know if there are any other hidden.
No more, please. No more.
Okay. So which came first? Did sitar come first or harmonium come
harmonium,
first?
Harmonium,
harmonium,
of course. Harmonium came
first.
Because right from primary school days, there was that harmonium, and I had that liking towards that, and I would just go and try to learn bhajans on my own and really worked on that. By Swami's grace, I was slowly able to pick up. My mother was actually learning sitar.
Oh, okay.
And she, in fact, once Swami very clearly asked me, who is your guru?
Mm-hmm.
And I told, formally I have not learned from anybody.
Okay.
So I told Swami, I have not learned from anybody. Hey, your mother is your guru. Because mm-hmm. she was the one who was learning sitar initially.
Okay.
And then her guru passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And in that area there was no chance of getting another guru. So the sitar remained at home. And must be about my 9th or 10th class when I really saw it there. And I said, why not I take it and start picking up? She said, okay. And that's how I just started slowly picking up sitar. And she taught me the basics initially. And after that, it is just by practice and hard work.
Anyway, now that you have started.
Anyway, the claim of calling me an artist and musician is quite a big claim. I wouldn't call myself an artist and musician.
Well, I think we will let the audience decide.
That's. But as I told you, even in art or in anything, it was something to just offer to Swami. And everything just stemmed out of that. I'm sure there are hundreds of singers who have come and gone from, hundreds of people, instrumentalists, artists, who have studied in Swami's institution, and they will have similar stories to tell. There's absolutely nothing unique about my story, but this is one of the stories. And all of them, every student, everybody for that matter, puts in effort and does anything creative just to, you know.
No, but I really think that each and every student actually have a very unique story to tell.
Very true. Very true. I mean, the outline of the story is the same. The details are different.
Yes.
How much each one struggled, how much each one prayed. And any spiritual literature says, do your action to please the Lord. And we literally did that. And even now, I mean, say, we are doing it just to offer it to Swami. And that aspect, I think, sticks on with students even after they leave the university, because that translates into their work in their office, and that's how the whole office really likes the culture of the students who pass out from here.
Sure.
Because apart from trying to push yourself and trying to do your best, there is also a very, strange kind of detachment which Swami has really taught us. I mean, you do your effort, do your best, but leave the results to Swami. And that's how every singer, every instrumentalist, every artist, any sportsman for that matter, you know, you really push yourself on sports day to offer something to Swami. And many of them are really not sure of the outcome. Like, you're doing bike stunts, you're doing this, that. But anything can happen, but they offer that to Swami.
Yeah, so, and sports meet is an amazing example, because people have done things in 30 days which professionals do
very
with
true.
Years of practice.
Very true, very true. And it's that one smile on Swami's face that everybody is working for. So, in that same way, I had also taken fascination for harmonium. And then since sitar was there, then I liked that sound of the sitar, so I started taking. And since I knew bhajans on the harmonium by then, I tried to translate that into the sitar.
So when did you first started learning sitar? Right from your school days? Or
No, that's what I said, about 10th or 11th.
Okay.
When I got the sitar to the hostel, then I just started fiddling with it and started practicing. That's how.
By your own. Okay. Now that we have got it started on sitar,
okay.
You had this amazing, unique privilege and opportunity to
yes.
play in front of Swami almost every day before the bhajans.
Correct.
For close to 15 minutes.
Yes.
So let's talk a bit on that, you know. How did it all start?
Oh my God. that's amazing. Even now when I think of it, you know, my hair stands on end, because these are things you very clearly know are not possible by you. These are things which clearly show that Swami is doing it. And we are just instruments.
Mm-hmm.
you happen to be chosen as an instrument to do this particular activity. Somebody else is chosen for something else. So there is nothing more special, less special in Swami's work. All works are equal. So, you know, actually...
You know, CG, if this story is going to be... Is it a big story?
It is.
Okay. Then before we get into the story, now that you have the sitar with you, waiting to be played,
okay.
Why don't you play something...
Sure.
Right now, whatever comes to your mind spontaneously, and then we will go to that beautiful story.
Okay, sure, sure. Let me just play a little bit of Rag Charukesi, as I understand it.
Sure, sure.
I don't know if whether it's technically right or not, but just a heartfelt offering to Swami. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, that was amazing. That was very beautiful. And I think I will have to very strongly disagree with you with what you said, that you're not a musician. Because I don't know, if you're not, then who is?
I don't know. These are just heartfelt, you know. Really, I don't know the technical way of the raga and all that. But I play for my happiness and just as an offering to Swami. But I would say it's really important that I should start learning and try to get the correct knowledge so that I can offer it better to Swami.
You know, recently I read a quotation. It said, learn all the rules like a pro so that you can break them like an artist.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. But very frankly speaking, since after I joined Radio Sai, work was very tight.
Yes.
And now since we have a bigger group and we have some allocation of work, you know, really systematically learn properly and offer it better to Swami.
So now let's go back to that story of...
Well, if you like what I played today, I don't know, on that day when actually we started playing, I really didn't have even one-tenth the grasp of what I have of the sitar on that day. But that's again Swami's grace. You know, actually what happened was...
I mean, what did you do to earn so much grace? I mean, Swami encouraged you in painting, now in sitar. It's like unbelievable story.
It's unbelievable even for me. Because when I think of it, I know I've done nothing. That's the fact, because as somebody was saying that in Kodaikanal, Swami mentioned that all the merits that you do, you, your ancestors and anybody else that has done merits, that's all exhausted in a few seconds of darshan. Everything that he gives after that is purely out of his compassion and it is his grace, that's all. And similarly here, I can think of nothing. I mean, I really don't know what. It just happened that maybe there was a yearning and then he fulfilled it. That's it.
Like the story that you yourself narrated, that with Rajmata, I think. Yes, well, so I'm, the moral is, if you need me, you deserve me, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's really amazing, because if you need me, you deserve me. That you know, Swami always stood up to that sentence, and that is, I can never forget at times when, you know, the hall, Kulwant hall would be full. And as Swami comes out for darshan, he would first go to the corner outside the, you know, where there's Ram Lakshman Sita statue today. He would go almost till there and then wave to the people who are sitting outside the, I mean, what must be their yearning that Swami is just pulled all the way there. He would go first and then wave to them and bless them. He's always stood by this victim. Yeah. So what happened on that day was... It's a very strange sequence.
Do you remember the date?
No, I don't.
No, year? This is...
This was my second PG, so year 2000.
2000, okay.
Yes. So it was, I think, 2000, 2001 and 2002. So 2000, early part of 2003 as well. After Swami came back from Vrindavan, then things kind of changed.
Okay.
Because the schedule was changed and that's how it fizzled out. But... on that, you know, earlier there was a person who was playing flute for 15 minutes before the bhajan.
Yes, I remember that.
And he's actually medically, mentally unstable.
Okay.
And he was kind of, he would get fits and he was very, you know, very violent at times. But Swami told that he should start playing flute.
Okay.
And the moment he started playing the flute, all that calmed down. And then he was, his father was a music director and from Pune. And he would come along with his father. His father would put the shruti box and then he would play the flute. He would play a vertical flute.
Yes.
And it was amazing to hear, because he also never learned the flute. And... he used to play the flute, and there were, of course, his set of songs which he would repeat, and he has been playing it for decades. And Swami would just stand outside. I remember even as school children, we could see Swami standing and then just swaying to the music of his flute. So beautiful. And so at that time when the mandir was open, you could hear the birds chirping and the sun setting. And at times the setting sun would just light up part of Swami's hair, how beautiful it would look. And Swami would be standing at the edge of the veranda and just swaying to the music of his flute. And then Swami would often tell us, he is a madman.
Okay.
He is a madman. I told him to play flute and now he's become all right. But that was really amazing. And even this, I mean, just think of it. If Swami wanted a good musician, anybody would have come and played 15 minutes for Swami's sake. I mean, everything that Swami did was pure selfless love. Nothing else. Nothing else. And so he was actually playing the flute. And actually before he would start the flute, there was a 15 minutes of Veena. Some of the college teachers were there and some students. They would play 15 minutes of Veena. That was not on the mic.
Okay.
That was just in the bhajan hall. And there have been many occasions when Swami would come and sit, where the tiger's face is,
yes,
just below Swami's simhasan.
Yes, yes.
He would sit next to that on the platform and
wow,
listen to the veena.
Okay.
And we have seen that as school boys at that time. And for some reason, the veena stopped and only the flute was going on. And a time came at around that time when his father was not well.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go to Pune for a treatment.
Okay.
So the son and father left and they went to Pune. They took Swami's blessings and
mm-hmm.
all that. And Swami came into the bhajan hall saying, no music today, no music today.
Okay.
They have gone to Pune. So Swami was saying that, and he was walking along the center path. You know, on this side we have gents and mostly students in the evenings and ladies on the other side. So no music, no music. And we all thought, yes, there is no music.
Okay.
And I never had any imagination, and I didn't even think about asking Swami if I could play sitar. And it was my brother who actually passed the word. He was sitting with the tabla group. Actually, I happened to be sitting there because sometimes when his father was kind of sick, I would put the shruti for the flute.
Flute, okay.
So I would sit next to the flute artist and then put the shruti for him. So we would take turns, and that day I was there, but the flute, they had not turned up. And so my brother passed the word, and then before I could understand the entire responsibility of such a thing and consider myself whether I was ready or not, Swami came back.
Okay.
He had just gone a few steps along the center path. He just turned and then came back and stood right in front of me. Because I was sitting at the corner line along the path. And then before I could ask anything, Swami said, what?
Wow.
I remember that very clearly.
Okay.
Because even today I cannot muster up enough courage to get up and, that's just too big for me. Being very frank. So I just continued sitting, and then Swami looked at me and said, what? Now there was no way I could wriggle out of the whole thing. So I got up and with a lot of, trepidation, I said, Swami, if Swami gives permission, I could play sitar for 5 minutes.
Okay.
Because the slot was 15 minutes.
Okay.
I could play sitar for 5 minutes, Swami. Then immediately he looked at me and he said, nu vaistava, will you play? I just kept quiet. Andar urki potar ra ikkada nunchi, he said.
Means
everybody will run away from here. If you start playing, everybody is going to run away from here.
Okay.
And I said, Swami, that's 100% right. Well, what do I know about sitar, and what is this? I mean, trying to ask Swami now, even now, my hair stands on end and I shiver with that idea. Even today, I cannot muster up the courage to get up and ask Swami. So I thought, that's it. That's the end of the whole thing. And then Swami went further. I said, yeah, after all, it was a very foolish attempt. But nevertheless, it was a good attempt because at least I tried. Maybe someday when I really improve, Swami will give me the opportunity. I just thought that. But Swami didn't leave it.
Mm-hmm.
He went right to the front and he told one of the teachers there, see, that boy is asking something. Okay. Yeah, in fact, Swami actually mentioned the name of an actress, famous actress Anjali Devi.
Okay.
And Swami was pulling the leg like those two brothers, the Anjali Devi's Alludu, and in a very jovial manner.
Okay.
So they are asking, they want to play, you look into it.
Okay.
So I thought it was all over, but then again it came back and the head became so heavy, and Swami went into interview room, then bhajan was over, everything was over. I was still kind of numb. I didn't realize the magnitude of it. And then at the end of the bhajans, that teacher and some of the elders came to me and they said, see, you should not fall back on your academics because Swami does not like people compromising on that. You cannot get away with playing 5 minutes. You have to play 15 minutes because that's the slot. And what will you do exam time?
Okay.
And what will you do this? What will you do that? And what will you play? What do you know? This, that. And you know, my head was kind of spinning and I said, sir, I'll tell Swami that I can't play.
Okay.
That was the easiest.
You were about to give up on it.
Easiest solution to the whole. But they said, no, Swami wants you to play.
Okay.
So I was kind of, you know, with one leg on either side of the wall and I didn't know what to do. At that time, one of my senior brothers, you know, is just about 2-3 years senior to me, he came and I said, why are you so confused? I said, see, this is what happened and Swami told me, and then these some of the elders, you know, it's all for my good. They are trying to ask me, am I really ready for this chance?
Correct.
But he told one statement. He said, why are you worrying? When Swami has told you to play, he will play it. Why do you think you have to play it? At that moment, it just struck me as the ultimate truth. And I just felt that Swami came in this boy's form and just, you know, tried to tell me, why are you worrying? I am telling you to play. So he told me, Swami has told you to play. Why do you think you have to play? And you won't believe it. I was just walking back from the mandir and I said, okay, anyway, we'll give it a try tomorrow. As I was walking back, the sitar that you just heard today is the sitar I picked up on that day.
Oh, okay. It's the same sitar.
It's the same sitar. I just was walking back from the mandir to the hostel and there was a Satyadeep musical shop there. Very frankly, I saw the sitar, you know, propped up on the wall, held with a string.
Okay.
And there was some beautiful dim lighting put on the sitar. The moment I saw that lighting, I was so drawn to it. I said, wow, this sitar looks amazing. I had no idea that it is such a big deal to get an instrument for yourself.
True,
and
true.
It is a big deal because people wait for years and they keep searching and they keep praying and they go to different instrument makers and finally they get a sitar of their choice and of their liking. I went there because this was beautifully lit. And very frankly, the sitar I had was not good enough for me to play in front of Swami. So I wanted to just borrow the sitar for a day. So I went to the music shop owner, I knew him, and I told him, see, I might get a chance tomorrow to play. So can I just borrow the sitar for a day? You know, if I get the opportunity, then I will, you will have a blessed sitar in your shop. Maybe you can hike the price. And for the sheer, you know, courtesy, courtesy sake, he said, please be very careful. And this is one of the costliest sitars I have, the best sitars I have in my shop. That's why you see it's specially lit and all that. I said, in fact, that lighting is what attracted me. I don't know how it's going to sound, but let me just take it.
Okay.
And so I took it to this hostel and my brother was surprised and all my roommates and the classmates were, has this guy gone mad? He just walked into a music store and then picked up an instrument and is coming back. My brother asked, hey, are you really serious about it? I said, it looks like I don't have a choice. So we sat the whole night and we practiced. We went, the next day when the lines were going to the mandir, I carried the sitar along with me. Mm-hmm. And people were still kind of laughing behind my back. I knew it. But I said, well, I am laughing at myself. I have no clue what's going to happen today. And so we went there and then 5:15 the music was supposed to start. And till 5 o'clock, Swami did not come out.
Okay.
And,
well, that is very unusual. Those days, till 5 o'clock,
no,
Swami
no.
Not come out?
In the sense, he came out, darshan was over, interview was over. And see, then I asked the in charge, I asked the teacher whom Swami had told the previous day. He said, see, Swami wanted you to play, but he had not confirmed it.
Okay.
So we have to wait for a confirmation. And so I said, okay, fine. So 5:15 was the allotted time. 5 o'clock, 5:05, 5:10. And Swami is inside the interview room. Okay. Interviews are over. There's nobody inside. And Swami is just not coming out. I said, Swami, yeah, I know it's not going to happen. Just then Swami comes out. He came out from the interview room and my legs and hands, everything was shaking. I said, Swami, please don't come into bhajan hall. But he came straight into the bhajan hall. And I had requested some of the singers that, sir, let me sit in the first row because I have to ask Swami whether I can play or not. And Swami just walked in into the bhajan hall and that teacher tried telling Swami. Swami said, keep quiet and sit down.
Okay.
Swami told him. So I thought, that's it. That's the answer. Uh-huh. When Swami came near me also, I tried very feebly raising up. I tried telling Swami. Swami said, sit down, sit down, sit down. That was his general.
Okay.
And he put his hand on my head. I remember that very clearly because I was sitting in the first row. That very rarely you get a chance to sit in the first row in the bhajan hall. And Swami put his hand on me. Sit down, sir. Sit down, sit down.
You know, just to give audience an idea.
Yeah.
First row in the bhajan hall, meaning you are almost 1 foot away from Swami? Or
exactly, exactly.
Just one foot away from Swami.
And so there I was and Swami said, sit down, sit down. And he continued walking onto the path. Then some of the elders again said, see, you are sitting without your instrument.
Okay.
And so you should actually be ready with your instrument. So as Swami is walking along the center path, I am walking, you know, bending myself and just trying to walk because I had kept my sitar near the middle door of the bhajan hall.
Okay.
So then that zip made a lot of noise as I zipped it open. There was a sound and all the boys were murmuring and I could see that. But there was still silence because Swami was in the bhajan hall. Then I picked up the sitar and then came and sat just behind the bhajan group. Then immediately Swami turned back and came near where I was sitting. Oh, you're ready with instrument.
Wow. Okay.
And I didn't know whether to say yes or no, but I just gave a stupid smile, I think. And Swami was so loving, so loving. Start chi, start chi, start chi. Start playing, start playing. And I remember the first song I had played was Madhava Madana Murari Jai. That, you know, that was a Jagjit Singh song.
Okay.
From an album called Krishna. Because that was a very simple lilting tune and it was not any raga based or anything.
Okay.
And so that's a simple tune to play. And so I had tuned the, for those who know a little bit of how the sitar sounds, there are the sympathetic strings. And I had tuned it to a simple raga.
Mm-hmm.
And I had given the taraf and there was this, you know, a gush of excitement and all the ladies were, they were making, you know, exclamation, loud exclamation and trying to peep and see where the sound came and Swami was standing right there. And I just didn't know what was happening, but I just started playing. And Swami gave a very beautiful smile and just walked out of the bhajan hall. And I thought, haba, now I can concentrate on the sitar. Because as long as Swami was around, so nervous.
Highly tensed.
And then what happened? I didn't realize that a mic had been put for the instrument.
Okay.
Because Swami went all the way outside. And he went and stood outside and sent word from there, tell them to raise the volume of the sitar. I can't listen. I can't hear it.
Okay.
When that word came, you know, there was that sound and somebody turned back from the first row and says, Swami sent to increase the sitar sound. Then I said, oh God, it's Mike.
That's when you realize that everybody is listening to you.
I won't say a series of unfortunate events, but a series of stunning events, I would say. It was really, you know, I had really taken by surprise. I said, my God, it's really Mike. And then Swami is standing outside and actually listening to it. So by the time I had finished my first song and the second song I had planned was Mere To Giridhar Gopal.
Okay.
Because that was one favorite song of Swami's and just prayed to Swami and started playing that. And then Swami was standing outside and Swami was saying, you know what song he's playing?
Mere To Giridhar Gopal.
Meera Bhajan. See, this boy is playing Meera Bhajan. And it just went on. 15 minutes just went on and we had actually planned for minute by minute, second by second, what we would play. So because of that, I could sustain the first day. Now, since the float artist had gone out of town, he was not coming back for next 2 months. I did not know that. And Whoa. For the next 2 months, I had to play every day.
For 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Now, please don't ask me what I played for the next 3 months. I have no clue. 2 months or 3 months, I'm not sure. And literally worked very hard trying to... So then I started playing bhajans. Because that was something which was really easy. Because I knew how the tune of the bhajan. And everybody could relate to the bhajan.
True, true.
So that way it became a double benefit. Because I knew only that and people also knew that.
And
so,
you are a harmonium player. So yeah, you knew the notes of the bhajan.
Yeah, because of harmonium. Playing harmonium, I could decipher the notes of... but I would really think my sitar sounded like a mandolin at that time because absolutely no gamak and no continuity. It was a very, very, very amateurish playing. But you know something very surprising? I had a secret prayer in my heart. And I told Swami, all this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought it was a one-day affair. Now you have made it a two-month affair or three-month affair. And I had no clue. I thought after 3 months, when the flute artist comes, I will discontinue playing. That was my idea. But at that time, just this thought came to me. Swami, if at all anybody walks up to me and gives me a thorough blasting and says, you have no idea of what you're playing and speaks to me very harshly, next day I will not play.
Okay.
This was what was in my mind. Swami, I just can't take it. Because, you know, I didn't ask for this. This is something way beyond what I can handle. Yes, you are playing, all that is fine. But then when you actually have to play 15 minutes, there is a lot of tension. And so I was just praying to Swami, you won't believe it. For the 3 years that I got chance to play in Mandir, not even once anybody came up to me and told me what you're playing is absolutely not good. What you're playing. A lot of people came and gave suggestions. You know, you can play these songs. You can play, this will suit sitar better. Mm-hmm. Don't try this kind of song. All that is acceptable to me. And I really try to put in more and more and try to improve. But this absolute sense of, you know, Swami protected me from that. In fact, I remember on many occasions. So what happened eventually was I somehow pulled on those 2 months. And after the flute artist came back, the flute player came back. We didn't know what would happen. So then we spoke to the sir and he asked, Swami, can we have 1 day flute, 1 day sitar? And Swami said, that is the best. You have it that way.
Okay.
So that's how it settled. And Swami would now start comparing. So okay. He would sit outside and he would ask Professor Anil Kumar, he said, which one do you like more? Flute or sitar? Swami is... And Anil Kumar sir would very confidently say, Swami, of course I like sitar. Then Swami would say, why?
Okay.
There was not just an answer. Yes. Why you like? Then he said, Swami, he plays bhajans. He plays bhajans. And bhajans are something which we all can relate to. And we hum the tune within ourselves. Hey, he is your student. That's why you are giving him.
So you are a bioscience student,
yes,
right?
Yes,
and
that's
he was
true.
Your teacher.
Yeah, he was a teacher in bioscience department and I was a bioscience student. I was doing a master's at that time. And so Swami said, he is your student. So you are partial to him. He said, no, Swami, he plays bhajans. Swami said, whatever, as long as you are happy, he just allowed it to continue. I mean, I can't even imagine.
You know, let's take another musical break. Can you play the first song that you played in front of Swami in Bhajan Hall right now?
That's something which I didn't expect, but let me just try. Okay. Thank you.
I'm sure you must be feeling very nostalgic right now.
I mean, just to think, it's a very simple tune and it's all full notes. So we had chosen that because it's a very simple tune to play. Madhava Madana Murari Jai. That is the song by Jagjit Singh. And that was the first song.
After that, how many times have you played this song? Probably you would have played a lot of times.
A couple of times. But then I really tried to pick up new tunes and new songs and new bhajans. And playing classical pieces, sitar as a solo instrument, you know, there are a lot of raga-based development. And even now, I really don't know many of those classical compositions. But I just play for the sake. As I mentioned to you, I should learn and I should improve. I think that's what will make Swami happy as well. So,
well, I think the way the conversation has gone, I'm sure there is a scope for part 2, part 3.
Oh, no.
So now, since the time is running out, I think we should conclude our conversation right now. And hopefully, some other time, I could ask you questions on your experiences with, I'm sure most of the people would have seen you with Miss Diana Gillespie on the stage.
Those are, again, wonderful stories.
There'll be amazing stories behind it.
Yeah.
So, probably,
I mean, all these stories go to point only one thing. How Swami can take a zero and make him something.
I think, again, I go back to something which you yourself had said.
Yes.
That is, after you joined Radio Sai, when you started doing the video editing and all that.
Correct.
When apparently one of the students had told Swami that, Swami, you are picking up things, you are learning.
Exactly.
Could you just narrate that incident once again?
Yeah, what happened was, I had gone to the school hostel to set up the camera because Swami was to visit the hostel in the evening. And Swami asked one of my colleagues at that time, where is that boy? And then he said, Swami has gone to the hostels. And Swami said, he plays harmonium very well.
Okay.
So then he said, Swami, yes, he plays harmonium, but now he is learning video shooting, video camera work, and even editing. And he is doing all that, Swami. And he plays sitar also. Swami says, I know. But he is not learning anything.
Okay.
So that boy was taken aback. Swami said, he is not learning anything, but doing everything with love. Because he is doing it with love, automatically everything is coming out nicely. And I think that's really something which we have to keep reminding ourselves again and again. And on one of the occasions, Swami told me personally, Yatna Prayatnam Manava Dharmam, Jayapa Jayam Devadhinam. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you make your effort, put in your effort. Whether it is victory or defeat, leave it in the hands of Swami. Before I conclude, you know, before I leave you, I would just like to say one thing, that it's not without hard work. There was hard work even on the sitar front. With whatever little, you were mentioning about me playing in the Vrindavan hostel.
Yes.
That is possibly before I started playing in the mandir.
That was 2001.
So
yeah,
then maybe
I think you were already playing.
Yeah. Okay. So, but you know, when I started seriously practicing sitar, that was in one of the vacation time. We were actually in Parthi campus, but we had gone to Vrindavan campus, and Swami was there. Summer vacation. Yeah, summer vacation. Few days Swami was in Vrindavan before he went to Kodai or something. So at that time, I suddenly got this urge to start practicing sitar seriously because we had time and we really didn't have anything to do, frankly. Morning darshan, evening darshan, Thai session. And so, it's again Swami's inspiration because I started getting up at 3 in the morning.
Wow.
And we were actually staying in Gokulam, the guest house.
Yes.
I would get up at 3 in the morning. I had requested somebody to specially keep the hostel open, so that I could come walking from Gokulam and go to that Hanuman Chalisa room and practice sitar. And what I knew to practice, I didn't know. I just practiced bhajans. Whatever I knew a little bit, I was just practicing. And actually somebody asked me, I don't remember the name of the person who asked me, somebody asked me, you're practicing so vigorously as if you're going to start playing solo sitar in the mandir.
Okay, so this is before you started
this
playing
sitar. This is actually before this whole concept and this whole thing started. Somebody asked me this question and I said, see, I may not play a solo sitar in the mandir, but at least for a music program, I could play a music piece. I could do something. So let me practice, and what, I don't have anything else to do. So, but I'm just trying to give my best. And you see how Swami rewarded that.
Very true.
That actually happened. Now putting it, this kind of practice I started was before Swami actually gave me this opportunity to play. And Swami just, you know, fulfilled that desire and rewarded that hard work.
Very true. I think that is the takeaway message from today's conversation.
Yes.
That is, what is that you said? That's yatna prayatnamal manava.
Yatna prayatnam manava dharmam jayapa jayam devadinam.
Yes, but just to modify that, I would say that victory would depend on whether you do it with love or not. I think
very true.
Once you do it, anything with love,
that's true,
it is bound to be successful. And I think your life is a shining example.
Oh my God. Those are big words, but I really think that these are lessons which Swami has taught, which, you know, hopefully we can remember for lifetimes to come, not just this lifetime.
So thank you, Sai Prakash.
Thank you, Chandu. Thank you for taking me back in memory, you know, and recollecting all those beautiful events.
So hopefully we might have a part two, so recollect some more incidents.
Definitely I'll do that, because I just think it's very beautiful to share these incidents, because it's very true that any hard work that you put and any effort, God always responds and He always rewards it. And as you said, that's the take-home lesson, because when we do something to please the Lord, it's always with love.
True.
It's always love for the Lord. And anything you do, He will always respond. I'm sure any incidents or any episodes that we have in our lives will reflect this particular feeling.
Good. I think I shouldn't speak anymore, because you have given the final punchline. So.
Okay. Thank you, Chandu. Thank you.
Guardian Blue Angel,
Welcome back, dear listeners. Now, before we conclude, we have one final guest, Shri Sai Kaustav Das Gupta, answering my million-dollar question, which is the bhajan that you would love to listen to a million times and why. Now, Sai Kaustav originally hails from West Bengal. He is a musician and is a winner of the Dishari Award for the best child singer of West Bengal in the year 2000. He has taken few music lessons from very reputed artists like Ustad Rashid Khan, Srimati Anuradha Podwal, Padma Shri Manna Day and Shri Anoop Jalota. He currently resides in Prashanti Nilayam and his father works at the Chaitanya Jyoti Museum. Brother Kaustav, despite his physical disability, is very actively involved in making digital graphics on Swami for Radio Sai Facebook page, and he wishes to be Lord's paintbrush and to be an able instrument in the divine mission. So over to Brother Kaustav telling us which is his favorite bhajan and why.
I would love to say thanks to Radio Sai for giving me this opportunity to share with you all that which is the bhajan I wouldn't mind listening to a million times and why. I think it's Nila Megha Shyamala Ghanashyama Sundara. I would not mind listening this bhajan to a million times because I love Krishna very much. From my childhood, I have deep feelings about Krishna. May Swami knows the cause of everything as planned by Him. The tune of this bhajan has a peculiar spiritual power, as when I listened it for the first time in Bhavanjali 1, tears rolled down by my cheek. I just could not control myself by listening it many times a day. Every time I listened it, I got a divine feeling. This feeling which can move me in bliss for a period of time. I can't visualize charming deep blue color of Krishna whenever I heard it. Let me share something more with you all. I can remember my grandmother's stories about Lord Krishna till now because I am very fond of Lord Krishna. I have found great uniqueness in our Sai Krishna too. By Swami's grace, I have written quite a few bhajans and my most of the bhajan compositions are of Krishna. During Krishnashtami 2005, I have experienced that our Swami is none other than Lord Krishna Himself. I really love the way Swami revealed that He is Krishna consciousness during Janmashtami. I will not forget ever that look, majesty gestures I have experienced during that occasion. Swami's face was dark blue and His yellow robe was reflecting a mysterious light. When He went before us in open car, it was just like Lord Krishna passed in His chariot. That was one of most unique experiences in my life. So you can imagine that I have experienced this bhajan practically and I am ever thankful to Swami for giving me darshan of Lord Sai Krishna in such a way that I will never forget in my life. Those feelings are just unforgettable. So Nila Megha Shyamala Ghanashyama Sundara is that bhajan which I wouldn't mind listening to a million times and would like to share with you all. This bhajan has composed by Brother Kaustav Pare. I try to sing this bhajan for you all. Nila Megha Shyamala Ghanashyama Sundara Muralidhara Manamohana Satya Sai Sundara Jagat Karana Paripurana He Sai Sundara Shirdeshwara Pariteshwara Sai Prema Mundira Shirdeshwara Pariteshwara ಸರ್ವೇಶ್ವರ ಸಾಯಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಮಂದಿರ ನೀಲಮೇಘ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲ ಘನ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸುಂದರ
ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಹರಯೇ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೆ ಪ್ರಣದ ಕ್ಲೇಶನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ.
ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸುಂದರ Thank you.
जय कौशल्यानन्द नराम परमानन्द आनन्द राम।